Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, 29.8 million school proposal passes by Steve Hoffman, Monticello. After twice previously defeating calls to construct a new high school, Monticello School District voters on Tuesday approved a $29.8 million referendum proposal that will fund renovations at the high school's Washington Elementary campus. The vote in Piatt County was 2,271 in favor and 1,437 against the ballot issue, while 35 of 56 Champaign County voters who reside in the Monticello District voted no. A handful of voters also live in DeWitt County, but those results were not yet available. More than 5 years after the school board began discussing facility upgrades, Superintendent Vic Zimmerman is glad to be moving forward with the project. We looked at probably 15 to 20 different combinations of plans since the second new high school plan didn't pass. Different factions of the community have different beliefs on what is best for the school district, Zimmerman said. This is a good plan. It's a compromise plan that addresses our needs at the high school along with some needs at the elementary school. When it's all said and done, we'll end up with one less elementary, which makes us a little more efficient as a district. Construction will take place in phases, with an estimated completion for the start of the 2020-2021 school year. At that point, the district will have a renovated high school, originally built in 1924, along with new construction that will include a competition-sized gymnasium and the addition of 12 classrooms at Washington Elementary, along with a science STEM lab wing to be added to the east side of the high school. A revamped entryway and offices for the high school will also be part of the project. The plan calls for the oldest school in the district, the 1894 portion of Washington Elementary, to be demolished to pave way for the new gym, to be used by elementary students during the school day and high school athletes for after-school practices and evening competitions. Monticello's second oldest building, Lincoln Elementary, would also be closed as the Washington facility would shift from a fourth through fifth grade facility to one housing preschool through third graders. This plan is going to have to be in phases where we build the new high school addition, we move the high school kids out of Washington into that addition, and move the old Washington building kids into where the high school kids were, then tear down old Washington and build on. So it's going to take a little longer than a new school would be, Zimmerman said. The committee that pushed for passage of past ballot questions took a softer, less partisan approach this time around, distributing information and encouraging people to get to the polls. As a result of the approved referendum, the owner of a $100,000 home will pay an estimated $71 more per year in property taxes. Farmers will pay approximately $1.32 per acre in additional taxes. Rantoul's Jones Caps Long Climb by Deborah Pressey Urbana. Decades after working his way up through the ranks of Champaign County law enforcement, Alan Jones is likely on his way to becoming the next sheriff. The county's chief deputy, Jones easily defeated his opponent for sheriff, Greg Worrell, in the Republican primary, getting 3/4 of the votes. The primary win places Jones in a nearly certain position to succeed his boss, longtime Sheriff Dan Walsh, who didn't seek another term. There wasn't a Democratic primary race for sheriff, though Democrats could still run a candidate in the general election in November. Waiting out the returns at Addie's Bar and Grill, Urbana, with family and friends, Jones said he thanked everyone, recognizing the campaign took the efforts of a lot of people. "I'm happy. I'm excited," he said. He's also looking forward to his remaining months as chief deputy, he said. It's going to give him a chance to learn more from Walsh before the sheriff leaves office. A career law enforcement officer, Jones received a bachelor's degree from Illinois State University and attended the Northwestern University Center for Public Safety School of Police Staff and Command. In his 28 years with the sheriff's office, he worked his way up from a correctional officer to chief deputy. Jones and his wife, April, live in Rantoul and have four sons, and he spends some of his free time volunteering as an assistant baseball coach for Rantoul High School. Jones had a commanding lead of 79% in early voting, and he stayed consistently well ahead as returns came in throughout the evening. While he got out and campaigned, Jones said, he knows the election outcome isn't in the candidate's hands. But in this case, he believes, the experience and leadership he has already shown in the sheriff's office mattered. Worrell of Thomasboro ran for sheriff with decades of law enforcement experience himself. He currently works as a security officer at Lincoln's Challenge Academy in Rantoul and a part-time police officer in Fisher. Jones had the name recognition, Worrell said. It's hard to fight someone who's been in there for 28 years. It's an uphill battle, Worrell said. But hey, I had fun. I really enjoyed it. I met a lot of people. Pension shift plan would cost U of I $200 million a year. Share of health care costs would soar, too. By Julie Worth, Urbana. Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal to shift some pension costs to the state's educational institutions would eventually cost the University of Illinois about $200 million a year, a top official says. Rauner's plan, part of his fiscal 2019 budget outline, would require universities, colleges, and school districts to pick up health care and retirement costs for existing employees over a four-year phase-in period, beginning this year. It has been panned by Democratic lawmakers, who fear it would force local school districts and community colleges to dramatically raise property taxes to pay pension costs now borne by the state. Many Republicans, though, say something is needed, as 26% of the state's operational budget this year is going to group health and pension costs. U of I Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Avijit Ghosh said it's not clear the plan will move ahead. But if it does, the plan would shift $40 million to $50 million in pension costs to the U of I in each of the next 4 years, reaching $200 million annually by 2021. The cost shift focuses on the employer portion of what are known as normal costs, the present value of annual increases in future pension liability. Under defined benefit retirement plans, which guarantee certain pension payments, workers earn benefits each year they are employed, and normal costs refer to how much money has to be put away today to fund that future payment. Currently, employees pay 8% of their earnings toward their retirement. The state pays 12%, and the state university's retirement system, which manages pension investments, contributes 20%. Those workers are not part of the Social Security system. Under Rauner's proposal, the U of I would pick up the 12% employer contribution now covered by the state. The governor proposed shifting 25% of that employer contribution each year over the next 4 years. Colleges and universities would have their costs, an estimated $205 million, covered this year using income from the recent income tax increase. But there's no guarantee beyond that, higher education leaders point out. A lot of questions. There's been no legislative action on Rauner's proposal, and there's been a lot of questions about whether this is a feasible plan or not, Gosch told U of I trustees last week. This will actually shift a significant amount of money very, very fast. Right now, we don't see any indication from legislators that they're willing to act on this proposal yet. What we look forward to is having a discussion with the state about an orderly way to do this. I don't think it's feasible to do it over 4 or 5 years. It will have to be a much longer time frame, he said. Regarding employee health benefits, the U of I currently pays about $24 million of the cost, and Rauner's proposal would raise that by another $48 million, Gosch said. Currently, state employees fall under three pension programs. Tier 1, a defined benefit program which covers all employees hired before January 1, 2011. Pensions are based on an employee's highest 4 years of salary, with a 3% annual cost of living increase to retirees. There's no cap on the salary used to calculate pension benefits. Tier 2, a less generous defined benefit plan, which covers employees hired after January 1, 2011. Pensions are based on the highest 8 years of salary in the last 10 years, with cost of living raises equal to half of the inflation index, or 3%, whichever is lower. And the maximum salary used to determine benefits is capped, currently at $112,408, though it goes up slightly with inflation. The self-managed plan, a defined contribution program similar to a 401k. Contributions are made at a set amount, and the employee chooses how to invest the money, so benefits vary with market earnings. But employees can also retire earlier with fewer years of service. Proposed switch on hold. About 47% of U of I employees are in Tier 1, 33% are in Tier 2, and 20% are in the self-managed plan, Gosch said. Legislators also asked CSRS to come up with a hybrid plan, part defined benefits and part defined contribution, for any new employees or those under Tier 2 who'd like to switch, Gosch said. But that's on hold as the agency seeks to clarify the details of the program with legislators, he said. Meanwhile, the U of I is already assuming several millions dollars worth of pension costs each year under a legislative measure enacted last year, Gosch said. As of July 1, 2017, the university has to fund normal pension costs for any employee's earnings that exceed the governor's salary, $177,500 a year. Gosch said that will cost the U of I system an estimated $2.6 million to $3.8 million a year, depending on how many faculty members teach in the summer. The state university's retirement system will bill the U of I at the end of the fiscal year for the cost, he said. The measure applies only to employees in the Tier 1 system, as under Tier 2, the state only pays pension benefits on the first $112,408 of a worker's salary anyway. Gosch said the U of I's costs could rise as salaries for Tier 1 employees go up, but that will be offset as those workers move toward retirement, he said. We don't anticipate this to be changing much as we move forward, he said. Lonergan easily wins Dem Nom by Tom Kasich, Springfield. Betsy Dirksen Lonergan of Springfield won a dominating victory Tuesday in the race for the Democratic nomination in the 13th Congressional District, sweeping all 14 counties in the district with more than double the number of votes of her nearest competitor. With 99% of the vote counted, Londrigan had 45.7% of the vote, to 22.4% for Eric Jones of Edwardsville, who was a distant second. Further back were Dr. David Gill of Bloomington with 14.4% and John Ebel of Urbana with 13.3%. A fifth candidate, Angel Sides of Springfield, got 4.2% of the vote. Londrigan 46 will face three-term incumbent Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville in the November general election. The big turnout for this year's primary is a recognition both of a spirited race with candidates from every corner of the district, plus vocal Democratic anger with President Trump and Davis. The number of Democratic votes in the district far exceeded the 31,695 cast 4 years ago in a comparable three-way primary election. Londrigan's campaign was aided by $185,000 in uncoordinated campaign assistance, mostly mail pieces, from the Women Vote Political Action Committee, an affiliate of the pro-choice group Emily's List. Londrigan will be the second woman to go up against Davis, who is anti-abortion and has been an outspoken critic of the Affordable Care Act during his time in Congress. From the local section, Erica Harold Best's AG Rivals, Primary Jitters for GOP Nod, by Lindsay Jones. Between waiting for the results of the Miss America competition and the final tally of Tuesday's Republican primary, Erica Harold was certain Election Day was more nerve-wracking. The 38-year-old Harvard Law graduate and Urbana-based attorney knows both well, having competed for and won the Miss America crown for 2003 and now the GOP primary for Attorney General, her first successful bid for political office, after coming up short in this round 4 years ago against Rodney Davis in the 13th Congressional District race. Harold won Tuesday's primary against former Burr Ridge mayor and attorney Gary Grasso, 59.5% to 40.5%. She'll face the winner of the Democratic primary in November for the job Lisa Madigan is vacating. At press time, that remained a close race between frontrunners Kwame Raoul and Pat Quinn. In the run-up to Tuesday, Harold garnered the public support of GOP incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner, but it was a broad base of support that she credited for her primary win, saying her deliberate choice of campaign priorities, including fighting corruption and identity theft, won support of all kinds. From the Around the Area section, 104th State House Race, Royal Rookie Rolls. Champaign. Royal Area Democrat Cindy Cunningham is looking forward to the next challenge in her quest to become state representative in Illinois' 104th District after soundly defeating Frank McCullough Jr. for the Democratic nomination in Tuesday's primary. "I'm relieved," Cunningham said late Tuesday night after knocking on more than 1,000 doors in the last 2 weeks, leading up to her win over McCullough of Danville, who ran even with Cunningham in Vermilion County. Cunningham, however, pulled it out in Champaign County, garnering more than 77% of the vote. A consulting business owner and political newcomer who decided to run for office after advocating for senior citizen services affected in the state's budget impasse, Cunningham says she's focused on improving conditions in the 104th district rather than politics and would be willing to buck her party's leadership to vote for issues she believes would benefit her constituents. She will now face Republican Mike Maron, a rural Fifthian resident and Vermilion County Board Chairman, who run unopposed in the GOP primary. Sixth Circuit Judiciary, Rosenbaum the Pick, Urbana. Judge Randy Rosenbaum, defeated Champaign attorney Sammy Anderson for the Republican nomination to be judge for the 6th Judicial Circuit. At deadline, with 71% of precincts reporting, Rosenbaum had received about 60% of the vote, while Anderson received about 40%. That article by Ben Zichterman. Champaign County Clerk. Grandone hangs on, Urbana. Experience may have mattered some to Republican voters who chose Matt Grandone over John Rector to become the Republican candidate for Champaign County Clerk. Grandone, who has worked for more than 3 years in the county clerk's office and is currently its director of training, will face Democrat Aaron Ammons in the general election in November. That article by Deborah Pressey. Champaign County Board District 10. King Taylor cruises. Urbana. Tanisha King Taylor, a political novice who is director of the tenant union at the University of Illinois, run a surprisingly easy victory over sitting County Board member Chris Storr in the Democratic primary in County Board District 10 in southeast Urbana. She will run in November against first-time Republican candidate David Weisiger, also of Urbana. That article by Tom Kasich. Champaign County Board District 6. Ingram over incumbent. Champaign. Mike Ingram, not incumbent Patsy Petrie, will represent the Democrats in November's race for the District 6 seat on the Champaign County Board. Ingram moved on to face Republican nominee Richard J. Montgomery by collecting 1,010 votes. Petrie picked up 777. Charles Young received 243. That article by Adalberto Toledo. Douglas County Sheriff. Blackwell wins big. Tuscola. Douglas County will soon have a new sheriff. 33-year-old Joshua Blackwell defeated three candidates in their 60s in the Republican primary to become the odds-on favorite for a 4-year term. Unless Democrats slate a challenger this summer, Blackwell will likely take over the badge from Gailey. That article by Tim Mitchell. Regional School Superintendent, Thompson moving up. The Assistant Regional Superintendent for Regional Office of Education No. 11 is on track to move up to the top position. Kyle Thompson soundly defeated Tuscola School Superintendent Michael Smith, 12,442 to 7,086 in the Republican primary. With no Democrat currently running for the office, Thompson, 35, of Charleston, is in line to become the new leader of the regional office, which serves Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties in east-central Illinois. That article by Tim Mitchell. Piatt County. Hunt gets third term. Monticello. Piatt County voters overwhelmingly voted to give incumbent Sheriff David Hunt the Republican nod in Tuesday's primary. The unofficial results point to a 3,047 to 672 win for Hunt over challenger Kyle Turngren, who serves as one of Hunt's correctional offices at the county jail. With no Democrats on the ballot, Hunt will likely serve a third consecutive term as sheriff. The incumbent felt voters chose his record over a negative campaign waged by Turngren that focused on Cook County inmates who were at one time housed at the Piatt Jail. I don't think the citizens of Piatt County liked the negative campaign, and I think that when that started a couple of weeks ago, it was a demarcation for people to take sides, Hunt said. In the other contested countywide office seat, newcomer Seth Floyd narrowly defeated incumbent Lori Birch on the Republican ballot for circuit clerk. The final tally was 1,816 to 1,702. That article by Steve Hoffman. Ford County Treasurer. Shoemaker has edge. Paxton. Paxton resident Krisha Shoemaker appears to have defeated Roberts resident Casey Schwartz for the Republican nomination for Ford County Treasurer, according to unofficial vote totals released by the Ford County Clerk's Office. With all of the county's 22 precincts reporting their primary results, Shoemaker led by a 930 to 762 margin. County Clerk Amy Frederick said there were still 136 early votes not yet counted, plus 7 or 8 absentee ballots that were mailed and can still be counted if returned within 10 days of the election. However, with 168 votes separating the two candidates, it appears the uncounted ballots will not sway the outcome. Shoemaker will succeed Judy Hastings of Paxton, who was appointed to the position of interim treasurer last December, following the retirement of Penny Stevens. Hastings is serving as treasurer until November 30, when Shoemaker takes office. Shoemaker is a Paxton native who worked for 6 years as a business manager for an Urbana nonprofit, the Marilyn Queller Child Care Center, and has since 2006 taught math at Milford Grade School. She's also the Milford District's and NCLB ESSA Grant Director. I'm ready to apply my experiences and education to a career in my own community. I am eager and excited for the opportunity to serve the people of Ford County in the capacity in the role as the treasurer, she said. That article by Will Brumleave. Paxton Park District. Smaller board okayed. Paxton. Paxton voters overwhelmingly sided in favor of reducing the Paxton Park District's Board of Commissioners from 7 to 5 members. Recreation Director Neil McHenry said the park board wanted to reduce the number of commissioners because of continuing struggles in keeping the 7 seats filled. The past several years, the board has had 1 seat out of the 7 vacant more often than having them all filled, he said. It has been this way for as long as anyone can remember. That article by Will Brumleave. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. Please stay tuned.